It's amazing to me how many people complain about the length of a baseball game, and that includes me. They're too long, especially sitting at work, TV station. You got a 3.5-hour-old game that's still not over. It is ridiculous. But when it comes to college football, nobody complains about it. You go to your favorite team's game, you know, 3.5, 3:45. It's darn near close to a 4-hour experience, but nobody's complaining. You know, in part, it's only once a week. It's not every single night. But college football is back. And a fun guy to talk to is Tom Hart. He's a Mizzou grad who has really risen the ranks in recent years, broadcaster, worked at the Big Ten Network. He's been with the SEC Network for a while now, ESPN television. You see him pop up on a lot of Mizzou games. And we've had him on the radio in the past, something I always wanted to ask him, because he grew up in Columbia and then went to Mizzou. And I just assume that fan bases out there, whatever he does a Mizzou game, would give him sort of the Joe Buck treatment. Oh, you hate our team. Oh, yeah, you're from St. Louis. You love the Cardinals, and you're a Mizzou guy. You must be rooting for the Tigers. I just always sort of assume that Tom Hart would get that kind of flack. So I wanted to ask him about that. What's the perspective on Eli Drinkwitz outside of Missouri? What are they saying around the SEC? He travels everywhere within the conference. Get his take on that. Dealing with the likes of Nick Saban, Mike Leach, because when you're a broadcaster, play-by-play guy, you get to huddle with these coaches the night before the big game. You're going, you know, one-on-one in a room, and, you know, one-on-three with your analyst and sideline guy, and just kind of talking about the game, but also just access that you don't get other places. So I wanted Tom's take on that. A guy who grew up in Columbia ends up in the broadcast world. Who were those influences back in the day? And Tom's a guy who likes to have fun, makes a joke or two. And I wondered if he ever got, you know, an executive producer or anybody tell him to tone it down a bit, son, because he is a guy who will have some fun on the broadcast. So Mizzou fans have seen him a lot doing basketball games, a lot of games with John Sundvold, which is fun for Tom because he grew up a Tiger fan, a John Sundvold fan. So it's a little SEC football talk here. Tom lives in Atlanta now. Georgia fans, boy, they are amping and ready for a national championship. It's been since 1980 with Herschel Walker, a long wait for the Georgia Bulldogs. So college football talk, a little about the career as well of Tom Hart, just a fun guy to talk to. It's the Kilcoin Conversation. It is presented by Marie Davila Senior Living. They are located at the corner of Clayton and Weidman Road. 60-acre, beautiful campus, assisted living, villa estates, whatever type of senior living you're looking for, take the tour, mariedavilla.com. B&G Tuckpointing, the best in the bricks. And boy, when the rain's coming down, it can do a little damage to your tuckpointing. Well, B&G can do all sorts of repair, not just the tuckpointing, but also foundation and waterproof. And they do it all, make the building, the bricks look new again. BGTuckPointing.com is the website, or you can call 363-0525, 314-363-0525. Ask for Rich Galati, that's the owner at B&G. Get your estimate, home, chimney, garage, get those bricks looking new again. Appliance Discounters, they can be found real simple on the web, theappliancediscounters.com. And when you're ready for that new washer, dryer, stove, whatever appliance it is, don't wait months. Well, there's so many delays right now. Everybody's, oh, it's COVID. No, it's COVID. Yeah. Why wait months when you only have to wait days? That's what Appliance Discounters is able to do because they have the 80,000 square foot warehouse in downtown St. Louis, so they have the inventory. So check them out online. Look at all the great General Electric merchandise, GE rebates available. Appliance Discounters has a real simple model. They save money, and then you save money. They buy in bulk, and you save money. Their savings are your savings. That's been their motto for a while, and they live it every single day. TheAppliancediscounters.com. And Triad Bank, one of my longtime sponsors, real excited about their new location coming your way because mostly it's a sign that things are going well, and they've been helping St. Louis folks do more business. So if you're a small business owner, check in with the CEO, Jim Regna, at Triad Bank. They're located on Clayton Road in Frontenac or on the web. It's triadbanking.com. Mizzou.com. Our little football here, a little conversation with a Mizzou guy now at the SEC Network, ESPN. He is Tom Hart.
Well, Tom, I have a couple of questions. I'll file these under my Joe Buck questions because they're topics that I've hit him with. Yeah. And I've wondered this for a while, for you being a Mizzou guy and you have to call some Mizzou games. And, you know, Joe gets hammered every time he does a Cardinal game. Everybody's mad at him. But you went to Mizzou and you grew up in Columbia. So I just wonder, do you hear from the opposing teams? We've talked in the past. I don't think I've ever asked you this, but I wonder how often you get grief from the opponents.
Not from the opponents. As a matter of fact, I've lived in multiple SEC cities. So I could always throw it back at them and say, well, if you think I'm biased because I lived in Columbia, Missouri, I also lived in Columbia, South Carolina. And I spent 5 years in Knoxville, Tennessee. And now I make my home in Atlanta, Georgia. So which location am I exactly biased for? But the only issue I really had, honestly, came from Missouri, came from Frank Haith, back when Missouri first joined the SEC. And I was doing a Missouri-Auburn game with John Sunvold, who I've worked with a lot and, of course, grew up big Sonny fan. And Auburn was terrible at the time, the worst team in the league. And Missouri scratching claw to pull out a win on the road. And I made a comment to John late in the game. And I said, you know, when Missouri came to the SEC, given their history, their fans looked forward to them battling in close games, important games with the likes of Kentucky, not with Auburn. And it took about 24 hours for Frank to watch the tape and pull somebody in the program aside and let me know that they didn't appreciate it, that it was unfair and it was unfactual. And I said, not unfactual. It's fans expected when this move came that the basketball tradition was going to continue and that Kentucky perhaps would be the one it's impossible to say, but perhaps Kentucky would be the one that places Kansas, certainly from a blue blood perspective. And that Missouri be fighting for SEC championships on the hardwood. And that I think that first, and Frank had some really good teams, obviously, and great players. But one of those first games was a bit of an omen, I think.
I love the fact that instead of getting grief from, you know, fans in Lexington or fans down in Bama or whatever, that it came from a Mizzou coach. That's perfect. Yeah. Here's my other Joe Buck related question, because you get to meet with these coaches. And I always ask, you know, the night before.
If we're going to keep asking Joe Buck related questions, can I get a Joe Buck size paycheck? Is that possible?
I should. We have plenty of other material, though. We would all like to cash those checks. But I always ask him about, you know, the night before when you're with the coach. And I said, you know, Bill Belichick to us, you know, he didn't say a word that for fans or media. And I said, what about with you guys? And he said, well, because Troy's there, it's different. Troy Aikman. Yeah. And I wonder for you broadcasters that are SEC guys, how about with Nick Saban? Do you get to see a different side of him? Does he have a little fun? Is he extremely buttoned up? But what's he like when the cameras aren't rolling?
That's a great question. And I'll be there next week for Alabama's first home game of the year. And that is a meeting that I look forward to more than most. And I tell you why. You know, guys like Nick Saban, and I used to do ACC basketball, Mike Krzyzewski, when they go speak to Fortune 500 companies, they charge 5-6 figures. And here we are getting an audience, a limited audience with these guys and being able to pick their brain and learn what makes them tick, essentially for free. Now, granted, our company writes a pretty big check, but that access and that experience is invaluable to me. Saban, I'm sure Belichick is similar in these scenarios. If you come prepared and ask good questions, you get out of it what you put into it. If you waste his time, these guys don't suffer fools and their time is invaluable. I am lucky in the sense that I'm on a crew with Jordan Rogers, who played quarterback at Vanderbilt, and Cole Kublik, who was a starting center for Auburn. So these guys played in the league. They are incredibly well prepared. And because we only do SEC games, we have a lot of relationships amongst the three of us that are pretty ingrained. To Saban's point, though, is we don't need to ask the wacky off the field story. Tell me about the kid that played trombone in the band in high school and is now playing left tackle. No, we're asking him about his philosophies on up-tempo football and spread football. And the best thing that happens, and I hope this happens next week when we go in there, because it's happened multiple times, is when you get Nick Saban out of the chair and on the grease board, well, then you're getting a graduate level education. And if you engage him with relevant and interesting football talk, he'll share what he believes. He loves talking ball. He'll share what he believes. He'll share his philosophies. He'll share the way they teach the game. And I mean, come on. Like, if you could bottle that up, you could sell it to every football coach or fan in the entire world. And that's the access we're lucky enough to get.
Now, I'm not going to go coach by coach in the league, but I'm curious, have you had Mike Leach at this point, any interactions with him? Because they're talk about a trip.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll share this story. So obviously travel was limited for us last year. We did most of our games from home announce kits. We got on the road a couple times, but we had the Egg Bowl. We had Mississippi State a couple of times. And I told our crew, you know, we go into all these meetings with the plan, and it's not a standard operating procedure. The play-by-play guy goes first, then analyst, then reporter. If you got a relationship with the guy, start it off, you know, make him comfortable. Let's have a conversation instead of an interview. I always feel like you get more information that way. But we didn't know what to expect with Leach. We didn't have any experience with them as a trio. So I started and I asked a couple football questions, and it was just a dead end. And then Jordan tried to ask a quarterback question and an air raid question, and it was a dead end. And then Cole said, hey, coach, I noticed your air raid siren that you use. Do you prefer the Jamaican horn, or do you prefer the nightclub horn? And Leach said, well, what do you mean? What's the difference? He goes, well, I've got this app. I'll play both of them for you. And he starts playing air horns off of an app. And now all of a sudden, we've got the Pirate Engage, and we're talking air horns and barbecue sauce. And no, we're not talking football, but we're talking about things that interest him. And that's more engaging in many ways than talking about offensive line splits, you know, because after all, this is the entertainment business.
And the answer is whatever it takes, right? Whatever works.
Yeah.
How about comparing like Big Ten, because you did Big Ten and now SEC. They're both great, you know, conferences, obviously, but is there a difference on game day? Are they similar in terms of the vibe, the atmosphere, the passion?
That's a great question. You know, when I was at Big Ten Network, they were a few years old, but there was this incredible buy-in from the coaches because they knew we were on their side, so to speak. I mean, I remember, you know, like Tom Izzo, for example, here's a Hall of Fame national championship coach, and he could not have been nicer because there was this inherent trust. Well, these are our guys. These are the Big Ten Network guys. They're going to take care of us. They're going to treat us right. And I was afforded that without any anything earned on my behalf. They didn't know who I was when I first came in there. The atmospheres are similar at the top, right? I mean, you go to Michigan, you go to Ohio State. We went to Nebraska at the time. Nebraska had just joined the conference, and things were still good when Pelini was winning 9 and 10 games a year. So at the top, it's very similar in how they run programs in terms of head coaches being CEOs, not just a guy who, you know, draws on the chalkboard. So yeah, there was a lot of similarity. The difference is the middle of the pack teams, the bottom teams. You know, you go to Ole Miss or Mississippi State on a football weekend, it doesn't matter if they are 6-0 or 0-6. That is an event. It's generational. It's all about family and friendships and food. And it's almost, you know, you go to the Grove before a football game, it's almost a religious experience. And that's how they think about the game. I think the other difference too is a lot of Big Ten markets are pro markets, right? Whether that be MLB, NFL, NHL. And so a lot of the attention that college football gets it's overridden by NFL talk in the fall. In the South, that's not really the case. I mean, obviously Atlanta's got the pro teams and Charlotte, and you know, there's interest in Nashville at different levels and different sports. But for the most part, you know, you tune into sports talk radio in Birmingham or Gainesville or Little Rock or Fayetteville or Columbia, South Carolina, they're talking college football 365 days a year. That's how strong the interest is.
How about in Atlanta where you are, and Chris Domino, who's been doing radio down there forever, we'd always get him on to talk about the Braves and, you know, whether people are getting on board or not on board. And he said, keep in mind, and in his own staccato, I can't imitate properly, but he said, donuts to dollars, guys. It's Georgia football first, okay? Georgia football. I think we outside of that state think of, you know, Alabama is, of course, great and a powerhouse, and that's where, you know, it's a passionate fan base. But Georgia football fans expect national championships every year. Now, it hasn't happened since, what, 1980, I guess, yeah, with Herschel. But give me an idea of the fervor there and how it probably drives them bonkers, right, that Bama has gone on this run.
It does, and there's an immense pressure on Kirby Smart to get them to that national championship victory. The Rose Bowl they played in a couple of years ago, and the way the national title is one of the best postseason games we've seen. I would just say that Georgia's not alone. They are, I would describe them as an elite program, facilities, recruiting base, money invested, not just in coaches, but in the program. They have everything, a national title since 1980. The spending, the investment in the school and the program. But along those lines of this fan fervor for a program that hasn't given you a lot of success, you can look just down the road from there and at South Carolina, where they have an NFL stadium and they pack it with 85,000 people and they have zero winning history. They have zero tradition. Yeah, they had a Heisman Trophy from the 80s and Spurrier led them to a handful of double-digit wins. But, you know, head ball coach would always remind us we're in there. He said, fellas, they never won 11 games before until I got here. And he was right. Like, the history isn't there, but that entire state, even with Clemson's success in the upstate, college football means so much to them that they will show up every Saturday and fill that stadium, once again, kind of like the Mississippi schools, whether they're 6-0, which is very rare, or 0-6. It's kind of a rite of passage down there.
It's interesting you mentioned Spurrier. I was talking to Dave Matter, the Post-Dispatch, a week or two ago. We were talking about Drinkwitz and his impact at Mizzou, and he said, I kind of compare him to Spurrier, but maybe he doesn't have the mean streak when he zings people. He's just kind of always having fun. Give us sort of the outside of Como or outside of St. Louis perspective on Drinkwitz. He's kind of a phenomenon around here. I think his approval rating is extremely high. What do you hear around the league?
It's interesting. I was on the road, as I mentioned, only a couple places last year, but I was on the sideline during a Thursday practice with one SEC coach. And this was about midway through the season. And he said, and with very little recognition that I'm a Missouri guy, that was irrelevant to him. But he goes, do you realize what's going on at Missouri right now? He's like, you realize how good a job that guy is doing? And so there's this immense respect that he hit the ground running. And, you know, last year during COVID, the SEC football coaches would have, if not a weekly, close to a weekly conference call with the office and with the SEC office. And a lot of that stuff was, you know, here's the plan for the season. Here's how here are the protocols for COVID. And you had coaches raising hell on that call. I need my team to practice. We got to be on the field and using that opportunity to show that they're the big dog in the room. Drink just sat in the background. He said, what am I going to say? Am I going to speak before Nick Saban? He said, I just sat back and I took it all in and I was a sponge. And I learned from those meetings how this league works and the power structure, you know, with a lot of the coaches and the influence they have. And I think that's what makes him special. He's a very thoughtful guy. He doesn't do anything without a plan behind it. And he has this loving attitude towards his players where I think the most important thing for coaches, no matter the sport, right, is to know who you are and to be who you are. Like Tony La Russa is Tony La Russa, right? I mean, he didn't try to be anybody he wasn't, and he didn't apologize for who he was. He's a Hall of Fame manager. He's going to win national championships. He's going to do it his way. Eli Drinkwitz knows that he didn't play middle linebacker at Alabama. He wasn't a starting offensive lineman at Tennessee. he's going to engage with his guys through generally positivity, but also just being honest and upfront and embracing that personality, which is different than we see in college football. I mean, most college football coaches are of the Will Muschamp mode. You know, I played the game. I know the game. I don't need to listen to anybody else. And I love Will. He's a great guy, but it's this persona, this college football head coach persona. And Eli's a departure from that. I think we'll see more and more comparisons as the football season goes on and the Netflix season or the Apple season goes on to Ted Lasso, right? It's I'm going to engage my guys in a different way that haven't been engaged before. And instead of a kick in the butt, I'm going to give them a pat on the back. And then we're going to pull through this because we're all in this together. And that's certainly unique.
Yeah, and he plays this sort of he said on a Zoom last year, he said, I'm just a dorky guy with glasses. And I'm like, don't let that fool anybody. He's playing that. It's like Letterman played it to the hilt that, hey, I'm just a dorky guy on TV. And all of a sudden, everybody's eating out of his hand. And the recruits are signing up. My sense is that Mizzou will be good this year, but they might be really good in a couple of years.
I believe that. Yeah, they're moving in the right direction. They're making the right moves. There is – that week two game at Kentucky is a huge game for both of those programs. I don't know what Florida is going to be this year. And, you know, college football hasn't really kicked off besides week zero at this point. So anybody who thinks they know, I mean, if they really knew, they'd have a 10,000 square foot mansion in Vegas and they wouldn't bother telling us, right? They'd just be cashing their own tickets. But I could see a scenario where the second place team in the East is not Florida. So that would be Missouri or Kentucky. And I think the bottom teams in the East, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, are going to be eminently beatable. So there's a real opportunity for success, no matter how you measure it. And, you know, the recruiting continues to be on the uptick. To me, I'm not a big recruiting guy. National Signing Day has never been marked on my calendar because you never know who those guys are going to be. Those kids are going to be if and when they show up on campus. And in this day and age, you never know how long they're going to be either. I'm all for the transfer portal, but who knows if a kid who signs with you is going to be there 3 years down the road. So I take all the recruiting stuff with a grain of salt, except that Missouri's obviously making great momentum on the recruiting side.
When you were growing up, did you say, hey, I want to call Mizzou games, or I want to be a national announcer? What was – when Tom Hart was a kid in Columbia, Missouri, what was the plan?
Yeah, I think it was Mizzou games. I think that's what I could relate to, right? I mean, I went to games. I bought my own season tickets for Missouri football when I was 13 years old. I was at Hearn Center as often as possible. And when the team was on the road, I was listening to the radio broadcast, which early on was Bob Costas, and Mike Rooney did some, and Kevin Harlan was doing it. And I told Harlan years later, I think he was doing play-by-play 88, 89 while he was doing Chiefs radio. And it was the best I've ever heard. Like, what's better than this? And as a fan, when you're invested in the program and you're listening to the broadcast, you feel as if the broadcaster is talking to you directly. You know, here we are in Lawrence, Kansas. Oh, he's talking to me. I thought that was one of the great things about Cardinals radio back in the day with Jack Buck. Like, man, he's made that booth and that stadium the coolest real estate in town. Wouldn't it be great to be there? How awesome would it be to be at Chavez Ravine with Jack Buck and Mike Shannon, or to be at Chase Stadium or wherever they might be, to be in Atlanta? Because to a kid growing up in a smallish town in the Midwest, you might as well be in Greece, right? I mean, Los Angeles is two moons away from Columbia, Missouri. Mike Shannon would say, you know, you should see this moon here in New York. But forever away. I couldn't relate to that, except I could relate to those are the guys that are talking about my team and players I know, and that would be the best job in the world.
You mentioned Kevin Harlan. He was on a segment, and I said, how did a KU guy end up calling Norm Stewart's games? He said, well, that's a long story. And he said, I had to win him over, and said I had to come to a couple practices and kind of go through the Norm initiation. It is unbelievable. You look at the roster. I mean, John Rooney, Bob Costas, I think Joe Buck did some of their games at one point, and then Harlan for a minute. Mike Kelly has done it for 20 plus years, maybe now. Yeah. You know, and you, your style, I wondered, you ever, your bosses obviously know who you are in terms of your personality. You like to have a little bit of fun too. And I think people like that. People need that now. Was that ever, have you ever gotten yourself in trouble having too much fun?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I told my boss got mad at me one time because he like I went over the line, and I said, I totally understand. And you're right. And I messed up. I said, I just want you to understand, and I will change. I'm coachable. If you want me just to be straight down the middle, black and white, down in distance, you know, second and six, ball one, strike one, I can do that. But I think we're in the entertainment business and people want to be engaged. They want to be entertained. And this era of social media, they want to be able, they want to spend time with people they can relate to. And so that's what I want to be. I said, so if you're telling me don't cross the line, I get it, but just understand to be who I am. There are times where I'm going to go up to the line, right? And if you run up to a line enough times, sometimes your toes are going to go over it. So I apologize, but that's who I want to be. And I think fans can relate to that, you know, like there's too many stories that I have and experiences where I did something as a group, no matter the sport, that was, that you wouldn't teach in journalism class, that was probably wrong. But we got more engagement, and even from leaders and coaches and athletic directors. We quick one, and I've got 1,000 of them, but a few years ago, I was working with Andy Kennedy calling SEC basketball. Andy Kennedy was a head coach at Ole Miss. Now he's at UAB, and he is he's a total wild card, right? And we cut to the fan section, and one of the students has a fat head of Ron Burgundy. And AK is talking. He goes, well, look at that. Ron Jeremy's at the game tonight. And I couldn't hold it back, nor did I want to. You know, I wanted to react, and I did react the same way hundreds of people texted me that they reacted. I fell out of my chair. So I am dying laughing. And I say, no, that's Ron Burgundy. Ron Jeremy's a whole nother channel. And we laugh about it, and they, you know, played the clip numerous, and there was this nervousness. It wasn't intentional, obviously, but maybe we crossed the line. The next night we're doing a game at Florida, and we get a text from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, and it's a picture taken from across the court. He was at the game unbeknownst to us, and he said, I've got my eye on you, but I see Ron Jeremy anywhere in the building. And he thought it was hilarious, you know, and he understood that that was, while unintentional, it certainly engaged fans.
Oh, love it. I'm glad to hear that he had a little fun with it as well. Hey, Tom, we're going to let you run. You're a busy guy. You got games all the time. Maybe in a couple of months, we'll get knee deep into the SEC and we'll check back.
Yeah, I'd love to do it. Thanks. I'd love the podcast. You're doing a fantastic job.
Over the last few years, you've seen a lot more of Tom Hart premier games popping up on the TV, and does a great job and keeps it light. And I'm glad to hear he doesn't get a lot of flack from opposing teams when he's calling a Mizzou game, and that the main complaint he ever got was from Frank Haith. How about that? Fun to catch up with Tom. We'll do it again a little later in the season. Hopefully we'll be in the middle of a great Mizzou season, but we'll get some SEC thoughts down the road. Tom Hart, the pride of Como, now living in Atlanta, sharing some college football thoughts with us. Also, I mentioned that next week, one of our segments is going to be with Matt Holliday, and it's all about the 2011 season, how it unfolded, how unlikely it was when they were 2.5 games back with 9 to go, 4.5 games back with 16 to go. So many huge moments there. A game 5 in Philly where the season could have ended if they lose. They win that. The game 6, the David Freese game. It's just an unbelievable run 10 years ago. We're going to deep dive into that season with Matt Holliday next week on the Kilcoin Conversation. It's presented, as always, by Appliance Discounters, theappliancediscounters.com, or go by any of the area showrooms. Check out the merchandise One of the really cool things they do is they price check around town. So whatever that item is for sale at the big box stores, they look at their price and they write it right there on the price tag. So you know exactly what you're paying and what it would cost you across town. It's always lower. That's the deal with appliance discounters. B&G Tuck Pointing, the best in the bricks. And there's so many brick homes throughout the St. Louis area. Make them look new again. Get that tuck pointing done with the folks at B&G. It's bgtuckpointing.com or call 363-0525. 314-363-0525 to get your free estimate. Triad Bank, get them on the web at triadbanking.com or stop by the location in Frontenac on Clayton Road. It's real easy to get to wherever you live. Not happy with your bank? Maybe they're sort of rude. Get the friendly service at Triad Bank, and it's easy to get to because it's real close to the intersection of Lindbergh and Highway 40. So really close to just about anywhere. And Marie Davila, Senior Living, great folks who have been there since 1960. Red Shanian's lived there for so many years. He was part of the founding of Marie Davila on the board, longtime resident in the Villa Estates. Take a virtual tour at mariedavila.com. Make sure you subscribe to Kilcoin Conversation, Spotify, iTunes. Get it delivered directly to you. And as always, all of our content available at scoopswithdannymac.com. I'm Martin Kilcoin. We'll talk to you again soon.